Today's Shi'ez Masechta Yuma Daf Mem Tes. We will begin on Daf Mem Tes Amud Aleph, the first words, Meisvei. At the end of our previous Shi'er, we had a discussion, Rav Sheshes had a discussion of what is the halacha regarding halacha b'smol. Carrying something with your left hand, is it considered disqualified as an avoda? Is it not considered disqualified? Ask the Gemara Meisvei. The Braisa teaches a Zor, an individual who's not a Kohen. Oinen is somebody whose close relative for whom he would have to sit Shiva passed away, and it's before the Kfura. Shikr is somebody who drank wine. Although there's a discussion, who is considered a Shikr whose Avoida is Pasul? The Gemara in Masech the Bechairis quotes a Machlokes of Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon. Is it only if somebody is intoxicated from wine, or is it somebody who's intoxicated from any beverage that intoxicates you? Rashi says that the definition of a shikr is somebody who only is intoxicated from wine. There are other Rishonim that debate that and suggest that even somebody who's intoxicated from other beverages would be considered a shikr. The Rambam paskins that the only type of shikr, the only type of person who's in that category that would disqualify the avoda, is somebody who's a shikr who's intoxicated from wine. Balmum, somebody, a kohen who's a balmum, the kabbalah, whether it comes to do the kabbalah sadam from the neck of the animal, the halacha of carrying the dam to the mizbeach, the zrika sadam, all of these people, if they do avoda in any of these statuses, posel the avoda is disqualified. V'kein yoshev, and similarly, if someone does the avoda when he's sitting, became small, if somebody did the avoda with the left hand, in all these situations, the avoda is posel. But here, it's very clear that an avoda that's done with the left hand is posel to yufta, Rav Sheshes, who wanted to suggest that if you did the avoda with the left, that did the halacha with the right, with the left hand, it's a qualified avoda. Here we clearly see that the avoda must be done strictly with the left hand. There are different explanations why an avoda done with the left hand is disqualified. Some say because the Torah says, wherever the Torah says that the avoda has to be done by kahuna, it means it must be done with the right hand. Others say wherever the Torah uses the word etzba, it means the right finger, not the left finger. And therefore, in all these situations, somebody who does the avoda with the left hand, and not just somebody who does the avoda with the left hand, but even someone who is a lefty, and he does the avoda with the right hand, but if he is an individual whose left hand is stronger than his right hand, the avoda is possible. So the Gemara asked the question. So here we had a very explicit braisa that says that the halacha, the carrying of the dam on the left hand, is posel. And as we've explained in previous shiurim, it was expected that a meroim should know braises. So how did Rav Sheshes make, wants the Gemara to know such a fundamental mistake to assume that the halacha could be done with the left hand? Because as the Gemara, for Rav Sheshes who dasva, Rav Sheshes himself was very well aware of this braisa, because the Gemara says, "Damle Rav Sheshes l'maroy de Rav Chizda." Rav Sheshes said to the person who would say the drasha for Rav Chizda, as we've spoken about previously. Typically, when a drasha was offered by a tano and a moira, they would have someone standing and say it over to the tzibur. One reason we said is because they spoke in Lashon Kodesh, but the audience did not understand Lashon Kodesh, so they had someone who could speak Lashon Kodesh, could speak the language that they understood, speak to the audience in a language they understood. Another pshat is they did not live in a world of microphones, and they needed someone who could speak loud enough that everyone should be able to hear. Ask Rav Chizda, halacha b'zor mahu, if the halacha can be done, can the carrying be done by Yisrael? Vamalei, and Rav Chizda responded, k'sheira. And he said, Omikra Mesayeni. And he said, I have a pasuk that backs me up. Because the pasuk says, when they brought the Karma Pesach in the time of Yoshio Melch Yehuda, the pasuk says in Divrei Yomim, the Yishkadu HaPesach, V'yizruka karam yodam, they shechted the karam Pesach, to kaham did the zrikas adam, v'alvim mafshitim. So from the fact that the pasuk indicates that the zrika was done by the kahanim, isn't that clearly indication that the kahanim did the zrika, but the shechita and everything else until that point were done by the Yisraelim. So this clearly is a raya that the Yisraelim did the shechita. Of course, the question that I saw that the Ritva asks is that even if we're having a discussion about the halacha, who could do the halacha, how could the halacha be done, the Kabbalah Saddam, which is an integral avoider in the bringing of a carbon, certainly had to be done by the Kohanim. So how do we understand the pasuk with remembering that the Kabbalah must be done by Kohanim? So Ritva explains the way to understand the pasuk would be that the Yisrael, the Zor, did the Shechita. The Kohen was standing there and did the Kabbalah. Then after the Kohen did the Kabbalah, Saddam, he gave the dam back to the Shechit, who was a Yisrael, who brought that dam to the Mizbeach, where at the Mizbeach, the Kohen did the Zrika, a Maisif. And after Rav Chisda brought this raya that the halacha could be done by Yisrael, Maser Rav Sheshes asked him from the brisa that we began today's shiur with, where the brisa teaches Azava Einan Shikru Balmum, the Kabbalah or Bezrika, the Kabbalah by halacha Bezrika Apostle, the Kane Yoshe, the Kane Small Apostle. So we see clearly that Rav Sheshes was well aware that halacha may not be done with the left hand. Answers the Gemara. In our previous year, where Rav Sheshes wasn't quite sure what is the halacha of the left hand, that was before he became aware of this braisa. But once he became aware of this braisa, where the braisa clearly indicates that halacha cannot be done with the left hand, of course he knew that that is the halacha. But ask the rule that halacha cannot be done with the left hand. But ask the Gemara, but Rav Chisda Krakama, then Rav Chisda just quote a pasuk that seems to indicate that the Yisraelim were allowed to do halacha. Says the Gemara, what they did was David Mas Itzdaba. It was an assembly line, and the blood was passed from one Yisrael to the next Yisrael, but there was no movement of the person who was carrying the dam, moving it towards the Mizbeach in any way. When is it considered a halacha? And when is it considered a halacha that if it's done by a Yisrael, it's disqualified? Only when the Yisrael was involved in bringing that blood closer to the Mizbeach. But in a situation where he wasn't involved in bringing the blood back closer to the Mizbeach, that isn't considered an act of halacha, and the fact that it was done through Yisrael would not be an issue. So here we see that the definition of halacha means bringing it closer to the Mizbeach. So I saw Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says that we know at every bris there's a kvater. The kvater is the people who bring the child, the baby, from towards the mile to do the bris milah. And not only is there a kvater by the bris, many communities have the minig, have the custom of chayka. A chayka means that they ask other people to be involved in bringing the baby towards the mile for the bris milah. And as I saw, the Sefer, the Tshuvas Mishnah Halacha says that the reason it's done that way is because Beroiv Am Hadris Melech, the more people who participate in a mitzvah, the nicer and better it is. So here having so many people participate and bringing the baby towards the mile is certainly something of great importance. But says Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, based on our Gemara, that our Gemara says that it's only considered that you did an act of halacha if you participated in bringing that blood closer to the Mizbeach. So similarly, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, if the person who's carrying the baby towards the bris milah is just going to hold on to the baby, but not move with that baby closer to the mohel, that really doesn't mean that you did any mitzvah. And in fact, I saw the Rav Chaim Kreiswitz tzal said that the minig in Yemen was just the opposite. We learned the other day that Chadoshim L'Ktiris Bo'u, that every day when they made the Goyrul, who should get this chus, the privilege of bringing the Ktiris, they would say only people who never got that privilege previously should participate in that Goyrul, because the Gemara says Ktiris Ma'asheris, somebody who has this chus of bringing the Ktiris at a skula to be wealthy, and we want to give as many people that, we want to give as many Kohanim that privilege as possible. And we quoted the Ramah that the same thing is for a bris milah. That a bris milah, one should not, Baruch Shem, somebody has more than one son, he should use different individuals for the schus of being the sandik, because the sandik is like a person who brings ktiris, and we want to give more people that privilege. So we quoted that there were many achronim that asked the question that if the Ramah says ktiris ma'asheris, how come we find that there were many people that were sandik, had the schus of being a sandik at a bris during their lives, and we don't find that they got wealthy? We gave various answers. Chaim Kreiswitz said that he heard from a Rav from Yemen that it's only considered that you have that skula of being masheris if you do all of the kibudim at the bris. If the one person gets all of the kibudim, if the one person gets all the kibudim, so then that's like bringing the ktiris. But if, as is customary and most bris milas, we divide up the kibudim amongst many different people, then that schus of ktiris ma'asheris doesn't apply. And therefore that Rav told him, this minig that we have, that many people participate in bringing the child towards the mohel, is not what was meant. And therefore, just the opposite of what we just said, that you should not have many people participate. So I was thinking, when I saw that, that if we're going to have people hold the baby, but not move the baby, as we just learned the Gemara, it's the Ba'a, we maybe can have the best of both worlds. They're not really considered as they're participating, because they really didn't participate in bringing the baby any closer to the mohel. On the other hand, we have that they have this kibud, and that we have where these people participating, the Roiv Am Hadras Melech. By Rapapa, Chof and Chaveroi, if one Kohen Gadol did the Chafina, and put it into the palm of the Kohen Gadol, is this going to be valid? What is the Shaila? The Torah says, V'lokach m'loi chofen of k'tayra samim daka, v'evi m'beis l'proiches. So do we say Meloy Chafnov Ktar Sam Daka Vehevi Beinan, that he should bring a handfuls of Ktaris Vika? And therefore, in this case, even though somebody poured the Ktaris into the Kohen Gadol's hand, but the Kohen Gadol brought the Ktaris into the Kodesh Kedoshim, is what's required. Adam of a Lokach Vehevi Beinan, the part of the Avoid is the actual taking the Ktaris. And he didn't take the Ktaris, he didn't do the Chfina for Aleka, and therefore would be disqualified. So Taisus asks, Taisus the Maskal Boy, that we already had on the Mem Zayim Abayz, Rapapa asked the question, what is the status of the Ktaris which is Bein Habinayim? What is the status of the Ktaris that's between the fingers of the Kohen's hand? And the Gemara explained, the question is, how do we understand Beloy Chafnov? And it's the exact same explanation is our Gemara. What is the Torah required by Mamoy Chafnov? So why does the Gemara ask this question again? So Tosfos answers, Repapa means to ask as follows. Even if we'll say that the part that's between the, if there's Torah between the fingers, it's not good, because there was really no act of Chafina on that Torah. That's why it wouldn't be considered valid. Here, there was an act of Chafina. It just wasn't by the Kohen Gadol who's going to be carrying it into the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, maybe this should be considered different. And therefore, the way to understand the Gemara, says Tosfos, is with Imtim Tzoloima. Even if we'll say, explains the Tosfos, that in that case, it would not be good because there wasn't a real act of Chfina, maybe in this case, where there was a real act of Chfina, albeit not by the same Kohen Gadol who's taking into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, maybe here would be valid. But then the Tosfos Yishonim asks, if this question, as Tosfos just explained, is really a continuation of that question, why didn't the Gemara over there, why wasn't this question posed together with the other question when we learned the Gemara earlier on Daf Mem Zayin on the base? So Tosfos Yishonim says, so Ritva says, the Rapapa indeed probably asked this question together with the other questions that were asked then. But here, since we're about to learn a question of Rav Shu ben Levi, which is very related to this question, so that's why the Gemara didn't quote this question there, but waited to ask it here. And the Gemara says, this question, if one coin does the chfina and the other coin does the transportation of the Ktiris to the Kais Kedoshim, Teku remains unresolved. Ask the Gemara, by Rav Shu ben Levi, chofan, if the Kohen Gadol did the chfina umeis, and then he passed away, mahu, what will be the din shikonis achah b'chfina osoy? Could a second Kohen take the k'tiris that the first Kohen did chfina on? So it's a very big machlokes rishonim. If the question that Rav Shu ben Levi is asking about chofan umeis, what's going to be the halacha if chofan v'nitma? If the first Kohen became Tamei, and then we appoint a second Kohen Gadol, could a second Kohen Gadol use the Chfina of the first Kohen Gadol? So the Rishonim say that the same question would apply. But then there are Rishonim that say that there's a difference between the two cases. And even if our Gemara is asking a question, by Chofen Umeis, what is the Halacha? There won't be the same question when the Kohen Gadol is alive but became Tamei. Certainly, in that case, the second Kohen Gadol could use the chafina of the first Kohen Gadol. Because when the first Kohen Gadol is still alive, we say that the second Kohen Gadol becomes the shliach of the first Kohen Gadol. And throughout Shas, we know there's a rule of shlucha shel adam kameisai. Only in the case, explains the Tosfos HaRosh, when the first Kohen Gadol passed away, that there we can't say shlucha shel adam kameisai. So ask the Sefer Chemdes Yisrael that even if the first Kohen Gadol just became tamei, how can we apply the concept of shlucha shel adam kameisai? He says that the only time we could apply that rule of shlucha shel adam kameisai, you could only be a shliach for somebody who could do it himself. But if the first Kohen Gadol became tamei, and since he became Tamei, he's certainly disqualified from doing the Avoida, how can we suggest that the second Kohen is the Shliach, is the extension of the first Kohen, something that the first Kohen can't, if he can't do it, I can't be a Shliach for him. So he answers that Tuma, since we've learned many times, the concept of Tuma Tchuy B'tzibur, so we see that under certain circumstances, a Kohen who's Tamei can do the Avoida. As we explained in previous shiurim, Tumah Dechuy B'tziva means that only reluctantly is Tumah Mutter B'tziva. And since it's only Mutter reluctantly, we don't want to use such a Kohen, and we're going to look for a Kohen who's Tahar. But technically, he can do the Avoida. And since technically he can do the Avoida, the second Kohen can be considered his Shliach. Whereas when the person is not alive anymore, there we can't in any way can't say Shluch Shladna Kamaisai. And the Achroinim take this a step further. Because when is the concept of Tumah Dechuy B'tzibur applicable? That's if the Kohen became Tumah with a Tumah Smes. But if the Kohen became Tumah, for example, with a Tumah Ziva, there we don't say Tumah Dechuy B'tzibur. So according to that understanding, if in a case that the first Kohen became Tumah, there we're saying that certainly the second Kohen could continue his avoida, that would only be because we'll say shlucha shladim kamaisai, it will make a difference what type of tumah. It'll only be applicable if the tumah was a tumas mess, not if it was a tumas ziva. Am Rav Chanina. So Rav Chanina commented on the question that Rabbi Shua ben Levi asked, that if the first Kohen Gadol did the Chfina, what happens now? That we now have a situation that people are asking questions like the earlier generations ask. Because Rav Chanina was saying that I asked this question, and now I heard Rabbi Shua ben Levi heard this question, who was from the earlier generations. So says the Gemara, does that mean that Rabbi Shua ben Levi cautious? Rabbi Shua ben Levi was older than Rabbi Chanina. That's what it seems that the Gemara is saying here. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Li heter Rabbi Chanina lishto shechlaim b'shabbos. Rabbi Chanina made a statement that Rabbi Shua ben Levi said that Rabbi Chanina allowed him to drink a drink made out of shechlaim on Shabbos. We know that on Shabbos, one may not take a medicine. The reason we're not allowed to take a medicine on Shabbos is because refuah is also a Shabbos. Chazal made a gzera because of shchika shamamonim, that you may come to grind and make the medicine. This is not considered, drinking this drink is not considered refuah Shabbos. Says the Gemara, lishtas pshita. Why would we think that one can't drink this on Shabbos? The Tanan, the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos daf kuf tes omid beis teaches us. Kol oichlem oichel adam refuah. Any food may be eaten on Shabbos, and Chazal didn't say, even if you're eating a food which has therapeutic benefit, if you're eating it as a regular food, you're allowed to eat it on Shabbos. And similarly, Kolamashkin shows you could drink anything, even though they have therapeutic benefit. And that's why the halacha would be that even if somebody's eating, for example, chicken soup on Shabbos, and he's eating it because he thinks it's going to make him feel better, but since it's a regular food, you're allowed to eat it or drink on Shabbos. So what did he mean? Where Chanina meant, say, was lishkos litos shchilayim b'Shabbos. You could grind them and then drink them on Shabbos. So what's the situation? Hechidomi, idik sakanta. If the patient is in a situation of sakonas nefoshos, mishri shari. We know that for bikuach nefesh, we may do whatever needs to be done. And if there is no situation of sakonis nefashos, mesa osur. How can we allow the grinding? Says the Gemara l'olam deka sakanta, there is actually a situation of sakonim. And this was Rabbi Shua ben Levi's question. Mi masya, does this make somebody better? The nechalai shabata, that if somebody is in sakonis nefashos, we should be allowed to grind it on Shabbos. Oloi masya, or really does it not have any therapeutic benefit? V'loi nechalei shabsa, and we can't be mechal Shabbos. Says the Gemara. Umayshna, Rav Chanina, why the Rav Shub and Levi asked this question strictly to Rav Chanina? Mishum, the Baki Berfus Ava. Because Rav Chanina was a big expert in medicine. Dar Rav Chanina, ma'olam lashlani al-odam al-makas perdus levana. I was never asked about somebody who got bitten by a white mule. V'choyo, that he survived. Asked the Gemara, for kachazina dechaya, we do see people that were bitten by white mules and survived. Says the Gemara, aim of achayos. They might have survived, but the bite, the wound, never got better. Asked the Gemara, that's not true either. For kachazina de mitzi, we see people that were bitten by white mule, and the place where they were bitten healed. And says the Gemara, we're talking here, besumken inu, where the mules are red, the chiver resh karai kaminin, and they have white knees. Such a mule, a bite of such a mule, the wound doesn't get better. But what's relevant to our Gemara, says the Gemara, mekom malkim, the fact that we see the Rav Shua ben Levi addressed Rav Chanina as Rav Chanina, and did not address them as Chanina, Shmamina, isn't this clearly approved of Chanina Koshish? Because they were very careful. And Talmid Chachamim, who were younger than them, they would call them only by their name, Chanina. Talmid Chachamim, who were older than them, they would call Rav Chanina. The fact that we see the Rav Shua ben Levi called them Rav Chanina, isn't that a proof that Rav Shua ben Levi was younger than Rav Chanina? So how could Rav Chanina say that he asked like Rav Shua ben Levi, who was older than him? Here we clearly see that Rav Chanina was older than Rav Shimon ben Levi. Says the Gemara, we have to reinterpret the statement that Rav Chanina made. Rav Chanina's statement was, Sha'altin, the Shaila, that Rav Shimon ben Levi asked, which Rav Shimon ben Levi is from a later generation, is the same Shaila, to Shaila Rishonim, the same question that I asked, who I am from an earlier generation than Rav Shimon ben Levi. So what we have here at this point is, Rav Chanina was from a previous generation to Rav Shimon ben Levi, and both of them asked the same question, if the first Kohen Gadol did the Chfina, and then he was Nifter, and now there's a new Kohen Gadol, can he enter with the Chfina of the first Kohen Gadol or not? Ask the Gemara, me, Amar Rav Chanina, Chachi, is it possible that Rav Chanina should have posed such a question? Rav Chanina says, the Kohen Gadol, as he enters the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur, into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Torah says, B'zois Yovah Aaron al-Kodesh, B'par ben Bokal l'chattis. He brings, as we've discussed more than once in our Masechta, he brings the par, and he takes the blood of that par that he shechted into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So we learn that the Kohen Gadol enters the Kodesh Kedoshim, the par, after he brought the carbon, that par, and shechted it, v'loy b'damash shapar. He can't rely bringing the blood of a different Kohen Gadol. Meaning, that if a Kohen Gadol brought a par, shechted it, and died, the new Kohen Gadol cannot just rely on the blood of the first Kohen Gadol's par. He has to start from scratch. And then there's another statement that Rav Chanina made. V'amar Rav Chanina, K'tayrus shachaf nekayin m'shchit sapar. If the K'tayrus was brought, if they did the chfina on the K'tayrus before they shechted the par, lo'yosav le'klum. Because as we discussed earlier, the order that the K'tayrus tells us should be followed in the avoid of Yom Kippur is essential. You can't change the order. And therefore, let's say the first kayin did the shchita of his par, and then he did the chfina, and now there's a new kohen. Since the second kohen is going to have to do a new shchit of the par, so the chfina, if we're going to rely on the chfina that was done by the first kohen gadol, it'll turn out that the chfina was done before the shchita. And we just said, Rav Chanina says that the order must be followed, and the chfina cannot be done before the shchita. So now, if the second kohen is doing a new shchita, he's certainly going to have to do a new chfina. So how could Rav Chanina have had a question, can the second kohen use the chfina of the first kohen? Says the Gemara, Hachi Kamer. This is the way to understand Rav Chanina's question. Since Rav Yeshua ben Levi asked this question, if the first Kohen Gadol did the Chfina, can the second Kohen Gadol rely on the Chfina of the first Kohen Gadol? Michlal, obviously, that Rav Yeshua ben Levi does not agree with me. And he holds that when the Torah says that the Kohen Gadol has to bring the blood of the par into the Kodesh Kedoshim, the par doesn't mean that he actually shechted that par. He could be Yoitza, he could fulfill his obligation, a fill with domishal par, bringing the blood. And now Rav Chanina says, I don't subscribe to that. I hold that just using the blood of a par, a Kohen Gadol using the blood of a par, that he didn't shecht that par, would not be acceptable. However, Ulamai de Svirle, but according to Rav Shimon ben Levi's opinion, who Rav Shimon ben Levi's opinion is that if the first Kohen Gadol died after he shechted the par and after he did the chfina, but before he could take actually the dam of his par into the Kodesh Kedoshim, the second Kohen can use the dam of the first Kohen Gadol's par. My question is, can he also use the chfina of the first Kohen Gadol? And that's what he said. That's a question that I also had according to that opinion. I myself don't have a question, says Rav Chanina, because I hold that the second Kohen Gadol would have to shech the new par and certainly have to do another chfina in order to keep things in the proper order. But according to Rav Shimon ben Levi, that's the question. The second Kohen Gadol is going to use the dam of the par that was shechted by the first Kohen Gadol. And now my question is, can he also use the chfina of the first Kohen Gadol as well? So that's the Gemara, my Havala. So now we need a question. Now we need to know the answer. Rav Shimon Levi posed the question. Can the second Kohen Gadol use the first Kohen Gadol's Chafira or not? Says the Gemara, Amra Papa. This question depends on another question. As we discussed in a previous year, the Kohen Gadol did Chafira outside, then put what he did, the Chafira, put that Ketoris into a Kaf, and then entered the Beis HaMikdash again, entered the Kodesh Kedoshim. And the question is, when he enters the Kodesh Kedoshim, does he do Chafina again? Zif will say that he does Chafina again, then the Allah is, Chavera Nichnas B'Chafina Asai. The second Kohen could use the Chafina of the first Kohen. For what is our concern? That this second Kohen Gadol never did Chafina? Yes, he's doing Chafina. He's going to do Chafina when he goes into the Beis HaMikdash and the Kodesh Kedoshim. The Kaim Chafina, he'll do Chafina again. However, if we hold Ein Chayzev HaChayfin, that the Chafina is not repeated, Tiboylach, now we have a question. Could a second Kohen rely on the Chafina of the first Kohen or not? So that's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. That if Chafina is repeated, there's no question that the second Kohen Gadol could use the Chafina of the first Kohen Gadol. The question is, if it's not repeated. Tosfos disagrees. And Tosfos says that if the Torah requires that Chafina be done twice, so why would I say that just because he's doing the second Chafina, the first Chafina, well, it doesn't bother me that he didn't do the first Chafina. He has to do both. So Tosfos Yesharim says that all we want is that Chafina should be done. And the fact that he did the first and he did this and the second one did the second doesn't bother me. Tosfos, however, has different pshat. If the Torah requires that Chafina be done twice, but really midaraisa is the first Chafina that counts, and the second Chafina was only done that we should know that it was done through Chafina, then the Torah says that the halacha would be that the Chafina could be done a second time. That means even though the Torah doesn't require a second Chafina, you could do it again and when you come to the Kodesh Kedoshim and be yotze the mitzvah. But if the Torah requires two Chafinas and you only did one, then you can't be yotze the mitzvah. So in other words, Tosfos' pshat is just the opposite. If the Torah requires only one Chafina, and it's the Rabbanan who said do two, so then the second Kohen does the Chafina inside the Beis HaMikdash, so he will have been doing a Chafina, and the Torah only requires one Chafina. But if the Torah requires that the Kohen Gadol do two Chafinas, and the first Kohen Gadol did the first one, and now the second Kohen Gadol is only going to be doing the second Chafina. So it turns out that you were supposed to do two Chafinas and you only did one. And in a case where you were supposed to do two and you only did one, everybody would agree that that is not a valid Chafina. Amalei Rav Huna Bar Yeshua, Papa, Adrabba. We can make a counter argument. If Chafina has to be done a second time, then lo yikonis b'chafina asai. You can't be yotze with the first one's chafina. Because it's inevitable that there are no two people that hands are the exact same size. And since no two people have the exact same size hands, then you can't be yotze with the first person's chafina. But if you don't repeat the chafina, so therefore there's no problem that the second chafina won't be the right size, and that's why tibaylach, can you be yotze with the first chafina or not? Tibaylahu, because says the Gemara, this discussion that we're having now, if the chafina is repeated or not, chayfin v'chayz v'chayfin, if the chafina is repeated or not, is a question. Says the Gemara, bring your raya that the chafina is repeated. Because as we mentioned when we learned the Mishnah on Daf Mem Zayin Amin Aleph, when the Mishnah discussed the procedure of Chafina, the Mishnah used three words that we didn't really know how to explain. The Mishnah used the words, Kach Hayus Amidasa. We don't know how to explain it. So says the Gemara, Mai, I tell you that the definition of those words are the lav shem shemidasa b'chutz, the same way you do tchafina in the before you went into the Beis Hamikdash, kach midasa b'fnim. So isn't this clearly a proof that the tchafina is repeated? Loi, says the Gemara, that isn't the way we necessarily have to explain the words of the Mishnah. We have two other ways of explaining it. One way of explaining it is to say shemrotz lasis mida oisav. And if the Kohen Gadol wants to prepare a container that will hold the mount of Ketores, which fit into the palms of his hands, that he may do so. That's maybe what the Mishnah means to say. Inami, another way we could say that the Mishnah is coming to teach us, is shloyechsev shloyoyser, that the chfina has to be the exact size, not too much and not too little. So we don't really have yet an answer to the question if the chfina was repeated, which we're learning now in the Gemara, would have direct bearing on the question that we're discussing in our sugya, if the second Kohen Gadol, who is the replacement of the first Kohen Gadol, could use the Ketores that the first Kohen Gadol did the Chfina on or not. Toshma. So the Gemara wants to bring a Raya. The Gemara here begins to describe Ketzur Oysa. What did the Kohen Gadol do as he entered the base, Kochei Kochim, with one hand? We said that the right hand he had the shovel with the hot coals, and the left hand he had the calf, he had the ladle with the ketores in it. What did he do when he entered the Kodesh Kodashim? Ketzur Oysa, what would he do? So says the Braisa, Oiches es abozak b'roshi etzbaisav. What he does is he puts down the shovel with the coals on the floor of the Kodesh Kodashim. Then he takes this spoon, this ladle, that has the ketores in it. And as we said, it had a fairly long handle to it. He puts it and he moves it to the tips of his fingers. That's one opinion. V'yeshayim b'shinov, he takes it with his teeth. U'mala b'godloi, after he puts it with his teeth, he takes his thumbs and moves it towards his body. Achimagas lebenatzila yodov, until it gets between his two hands, and then he turns it over. In other words, the issue here is as follows. You need to be able to turn this calf full of ketores into your two cupped hands. But if your hands need to be cupped to catch the ketores, you can't use your hands to pour the ketores into your hands. So you have to come up with method how to do so. So the first method has you bringing the ketores to the tip of your fingers and then flipping it back onto the palm of your hands. The other method has it being brought up by your teeth and then being brought into your next to the top of your arms, to your armpits, and then turned over into your hands. And now, says the Braisa, Tzavroi, we make that all the ketores should be piled up in one place. We take now the ketores that you have on the palm of your hands and you put it on top of those coals that we spoke about. But the Braisa says that when you put it on the coals, when you put the ketores on top of the coals, don't spread them out over the entire shovel with coals, because if you're going to do that, it's going to cause that there should be a lot of smoke coming out at one time. And since there's going to be a lot of smoke coming up in one time, the Kohen Gadol could have smoke inhalation. He could be smelling too much smoke will enter his body, and it could be dangerous for him. Another pshat is that if he is going to have the smoke come up very quickly, the halach is, as soon as the Kodesh HaKadoshim gets full of smoke, the Kohen Gadol is supposed to leave. And if the smoke is going to come quickly, he'll leave the Kochei Kochim very quickly. And we don't want him to leave the Kochei Kochim quickly, because people will say he's not anxious to do a voidah. Another pshat that we want that the smoke should come slowly and disperse slowly. If the smoke is going to come quickly, it's also going to disperse quickly. And therefore, the proper thing to do is, tzivrei, we should pile it up in one place. Today, yeshana shayalavoi, that it should take longer time for the smoke to come up for the different reasons that we just gave. V'yeshamrim, but there's a different opinion that says just the opposite. Mefazroi, they did spread out the k'tiris over the machta, that it, smoke should come up very quickly, because we don't want that the Kohen Gadol should remain for a longer time in the Kodesh Kedoshim. As we've discussed many times, Kodesh Kedoshim is really a place where people are not allowed to be, even the Kohen Gadol. Only Yom Kippur, when he does this avoida, may he be there. So we want him to leave as quickly as possible. So the quicker that the Kodesh Kedoshim fills up with smoke, the quicker he will get out. And that's why we put it out that way, that it should be full of smoke quickly. Another pshat that I saw is that everybody was sitting and waiting, anticipating to see that the Kohen Gadol should come out of the Kodesh Kedoshim safely. So the way, if he'll get the Ketoris, the Oshin, the smoke to come up quickly, if he'll be able to get that to happen quickly, he'll be able to exit quickly, and the concern that everybody there has that the Kohen Gadol is able to exit quickly will be taken care of. And comes the Braisa, v'zui avoida kosher b'migdash. This was a very difficult avoida in the Beis HaMikdash, being able to manipulate with your teeth or the tips of your fingers this Ketoris. Ask the Gemara, Zuig, is this the most difficult avoid in the Beis HaMikdash? Soloi, Vika Malika, as we discussed previously, doing Malika, piercing the neck of an animal just with your fingernail is difficult. Or as we explained, there's some Rishonim saying, not only did you have to pierce the animal with your fingernail, but you also had to hold the bird with your right hand and pierce it with your right hand, with your right, with that finger, all at the same time, and that's a difficult avoida. Vika kmitza, we discussed on Daf Mem Zayin and Beis the difficulty involved in doing the kmitza. Says the Gemara, what the Braisa meant to say is el zuhi avoid the kashim migdish. This is one of the difficult avoidas, but what's relevant to our shir, says the Gemara, is shmamino choyfe v'choyz v'choyfen, that the chfina was repeated in the kashim kadoshim shmamino. So If the shaila that we asked, if you could do chfina, if the second Kohen Gadol could rely on the chfina, the first Kohen Gadol is connected to chayfin v'chayz v'chayfin, now we know for sure that the chfina was repeated. Ask the Gemara, Ibailu, shochat, if the Kohen Gadol shechted the par on Yom Kippur, or mace, and he passed away before the zrik of that dam, mal shikonis acher, bedomai, could the second Kohen Gadol use the dam of the first Kohen Gadol? Meimrinan, do we say, and then when the Torah Kedosh says that the Kohen Gadol has to enter the Kodesh Kedoshim with the dam, the Torah says, Bezois Yova Aaron al Kodesh Bepar, it means Afilo Bedamashal Par. It doesn't have to bring his own, it doesn't have to be that he shechted that par. As long as he's bringing Damashal Par, it's fine. A Dama Bepar, Veloy Damashal Par. It has to be the par that he shechted. Rav Chanina Amar Bepar, as we said earlier, says bepar v'loy b'damashal par. You have to be that the Kohen Gadol shechted this par, and only the blood of the par that he shechted to be brought in. Rish Lakish amar bepar v'afilu b'damashal par. You could even use the dam of the par. And similarly, says the Gemara, Rav Ami amar bepar v'loy b'damashal par. Rav Yitzchak Nafka amar bepar v'afilu b'damashal par. So this is a machloikus amaroyim. Ask the Gemara, Esvei Rav Amiel Rav Yitzchak Nafcha. Nimnan, the Mishnah taught us Masechta Pesachim, that if somebody wants to participate in a Korban Pesach, you have to register. You could register, or you could unregister. Or Moshchin Yedei Mimenu, Achi Yishachet, until the animal is actually slaughtered. Vim Isa, but if we're saying that it's still considered a Korban until the Zrikas Adam was taking place, so why wouldn't the halacha be that actually Yizarek Mibaylei, that you could register or unregister until the actual, as long as the Zrika wasn't done? It was saying here that it's the Zrika that counts, so why don't we say the same thing over there, that as long as the Zrika as long as the Zrika wasn't done, we could still register. We could still register or unregister. Answers the Gemara: we can't compare the par on Yom Kippur to the Karm Pesach. Shani Hasam, because the pasuk says by the Karm Pesach, the ksiv im yimin the bayis miyos misa. You could only register michiyusay the sa, that as long as the animal is alive. So, and as the Sfasem explains, the Torah Akdaisha uses, when it speaks about the Karm Pasach, the word v'shochtu oisei kol adas Yisrael. That if you want to be connected and registered in the Karm Pesach, you have to be there for the Shechita. Masav Azotra. So ask the Gemara on the opinion that holds the Dama Par is also considered Par. The Torah says that if the firstborn of a female donkey, we have to redeem. So the Mishnah teaches us in Masechta Bechoris, Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, ain't paidon loy be'egel, v'loy be'chayi, we can't use a calf, we can't use an animal which is in the category of a chayi, like a deer, v'loy be'shchuta, we can't use an animal that was already slaughtered, v'loy be'treifa, an animal that's a treifa, v'loy be'klayim, v'loy be'koy, a koy is an animal that is a hybrid of a behem and a chaya, el b'seh. So we see that you have to have a living animal, and just the blood of an animal is not acceptable. Answers the Gemara, Shani Hasam Diyalv says Semi Pesach. We learn Xerus Shava from Pesach. And if we just finished explaining that by the Karm Pesach, it's only considered an animal when it's alive, here too that would be the halacha. Ask the Gemara, if you want to learn from a Karm Pesach, so you should learn all the way. Imala Halan, the only animal that's qualified to be used for Karm Pesach is Zohar, a male, tam, that has no mum, uben shana, it's less than a year old. So should we say that the same thing will be by pidyon petach hamor, that should be a zocher, tam, uben shana, tam loima, tifta, riba, that they don't have to have all of these conditions. Ask the Gemara, e tifta, riba, if you're learning from the words tifta, that we could include other situations, so then why all these other animals that were just disqualified, why can they not be used for the pidyon petach hamor? And says the Gemara, Imkain Samahanile. What the Gemara means to say is that we have a combination. On one hand, the Gzer Shav of Seh comes to limit what kind of animal can be used for pidyon petach hamor. On the other hand, Tifta comes to include more types. And that's why the Gemara came up with this solution that it has to be a live animal. But it doesn't have to have all the other conditions that are required, that it's a year old, that a male, that is required by a Karban Pesach.